Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning how to find freedom from sin.
When sin was your master, ultimately it was leading you to death. When God is your master, ultimately it leads you to life and holiness and eternal life. You have to serve somebody.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is the president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Jesus tells us that we cannot serve two masters, and on today's program, we'll be looking at getting a new boss. Our message comes from our City of God series, The Gospel of Jesus as presented to the Romans. And if you've missed any of the messages in this series, you can catch up online at boldstepsradio.org. Now, with your Bible handy, let's dive into our passage from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. Here's Mark Jobe.
I heard one time that circus trainers with the wild animals had their training process, and they would take a young elephant when he's born. They will chain the leg of an elephant in a deep, powerful stake with strong chains, and the elephant will try in the beginning to get set free, and it'll yank and pull until their leg is raw, bleeding. But after several months of being chained like that, the young elephant starts to realize, I can't get free. No matter how much I pull, tug, try to force, all it does is hurt me. And so after a while, when a chain is put on that elephant, they stop trying to get loose because they assume, I can't. And what an elephant trainer does now, they don't need a big stake. All they have to do is put a little stake in the ground that an elephant could easily pull away from, but they don't try to pull away anymore because in their mind they feel like, I can never get away. So a little stake in the ground keeps this huge, powerful elephant in chains. Because now they have a mentality, if I can never get loose. Oh, is that an imagery for us? For years you've tried to get free. For years you've tried to pull away from those chains. You haven't been able to. And finally, you come and you are set free by the power of God. Jesus has crucified your old man. He said he no longer dominates your life. But now, you still feel like you're in chain when you could break the chains. You don't live in that freedom that God has called you to because you have been preconditioned to a mind of slavery. And Paul is telling us, why are you offering your members to sin when you have been set free from sin? So do not live as though you are under the old master. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. I love that Jesus is all about freedom, by the way. The prophet said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Hundreds of years later, Jesus would say, the anointing of God is upon me, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to set prisoners free. Part of the ministry of Jesus is a ministry of liberation, of setting you free to live the life that God really has called you to live. Number two, you have been set free, so fully obey the word that has given you freedom in the first place. Look at what it says in verse 17. But thanks be to God. Though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Paul says, you used to be slaves to sin. When I met you, you were a slave. But then, the word of God was preached to you. You heard the word of God. Oh, not just any word, but the word of God. You see, the word of God is powerful and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the souls and spirit and joints and marrow. When you believe the word of God and believe the message of the gospel, you obeyed by repenting and believing and confessing, and you were set free. Listen, you have been, verse 18, you have been set free from sin. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that you don't have to sin anymore. There's a difference between sinning and not having to sin. You have been set free, crucified the old man. Sin has been crucified on the cross, so therefore you no longer have to sin. You're not a slave to sin anymore. If you choose to sin now, it's because you choose to sin and your flesh is influenced by the sin, not because you have to sin. You have been set free from sin. And this is what he says, listen. And now you have a new master. You know who your new master is? Your new master is God, and you know what he drives you to? Righteousness. Now you have become slaves to righteousness. What does that mean, slaves to righteousness? You know how you used to have to sin? And even though you didn't want to, you did it anyways. And even you promised, every New Year's, I'm going to stop doing this, but you fell anyways because you were driven by it. He says, now you have become slaves to righteousness. Now you're driven to do good. Now you're driven to pray. Now you're driven to bless. Now you're driven to do good. The same compulsion that you had to do bad, now you have the compulsion to do good. Even if you don't want to do good, it's in you. It's driving you to do good. Why? Because you have a new master. He's called the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now, even if you don't want to be good, you find yourself going towards what is good. Why? Because you are a slave to righteousness now. You have become slaves to righteousness. Verse 19. I put this in human terms because you are weak and in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer your parts of your body to slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Before, you used to offer your body in slavery to impurity and darkness. Before, your body, your mind, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, you belonged to wickedness and unrighteousness, and it was full of impurity, and that's the way you would go. And the end result was wickedness. He says, now offer your parts of your body to righteousness that leads to holiness. You know what holiness means? Holiness means being separated unto God. It means purity, goodness. The same way you used to, your mind used to be filled with garbage, now fill your mind with goodness. Before, how your eyes used to look at stuff that your eyes shouldn't look at, now your eyes need to gaze on God and the goodness of God. Before, when your mouth used to speak the filth of the world and every other word was a cuss word, now your mouth is full of blessing and the goodness of God and the greatness of God. Everything that you used to, your body used to use for bad, now God says, now may you be an instrument of good for the power of God. Listen, here's what I want you to know. Hear me well. When God sets you free and saves you, he doesn't just wipe your slate clean. So you're at zero. You're not a zero. He washes the bad away, but now he puts the good in you. It's not just like, well, he washed me from my bad. No, he's washed you from your bad, but he's put himself, his Holy Spirit, inside of you. So you're not just zero. The past has been washed, and the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of you. See, all the goodness of God lives inside of you. You are being influenced to do good. You are being driven to do good. You have the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray, bless, give, encourage, do what's good, act in accordance with obedience to God. You are driven by the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Before, you had a sinful nature. The Bible says now you have a divine nature driving you to do the things of God. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Number three, and lastly, you have been set free, so remember, who you allow to be your master will determine your destiny. Verse 20 says, when you were slaves to sin, hey, do you remember when you were slaves to sin? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not really sure. When was I a slave to sin? Before you came to Christ, you were a slave to sin. That may have been last week. That may have been 10 years ago. You were a slave. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. When sin was your master, you didn't feel compelled to do good. You didn't have to do good because you could live out there however you wanted to live because sin was your master.
You're listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, and this is Bold Steps. We want you to get to stepping in your walk with Christ, so be sure to take advantage of our free weekly email feature we have. It's called the Bold Stepper Weekly. It's filled with loads of inspiration and a weekly challenge from Mark delivered right to your inbox each Monday morning. Sign up for this today at boldstepsradio.org. While you're on our website, be sure to request Mark Sayer's book, The Road Trip That Changed the World. I'll tell you more about this creative and insightful book a little later in the program after the message. But now let's dive back into the second half of today's message. We're in the book of Romans, and once again, here's Mark Jobe.
Oh, you see, you need to hear this. Because some of you, you've been set free from the slavery of sin, and some of you want to backslide. And you say, forget about it. I tried the God thing. It didn't work. I fail. I'm going to go be the old me for a while. And you get out the old clothes, a little party clothes. Ladies, you look through the closet, you find that low cleavage, that high. I'm going to pull out the old dress. I'm going to call up the old friends, and they say, I haven't heard you for a long time. No, I'm back. What are you guys doing? Can I go out with you? Can I party? So you show up, you get your old swagger back, you're going back, like, you start talking, you leave the God language behind, you go out there, and you're going to do what you used to do and have fun like you used to have fun. And so you throw yourself into it. And it seems like you have to drink a little bit more to have a little bit more fun. And you have to go a little further than you did before. And here's what happens. In the beginning, you may feel like, hey, this feels like the old me. I think I can get back into it. Hey, I'm back to the swing of it. But there's something about it that will never be the same. Because now you are a slave to righteousness. And there's something in your heart, if you're truly born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are truly saved. Now, if you're not saved, then go back. And you'll never feel a tinge of guilt. You'll never feel like I have to change. You'll be able to go there, and you'll be able to stay there. But if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are a slave to righteousness. And you may be out there, but there's something inside of you that will tell you, this is not who you are. This is not your destiny. That's not who you are. That's who you were, but this is not who you are. You have a calling, a purpose. You are meant to glorify God, follow God, bless God. Hey, listen, you can go try to party like you used to party, but you will never enjoy partying again. Because now you have a master inside of you, the Holy Spirit, God, that's driving you to righteousness. You have a divine nature. Oh, you can sin even with a divine nature, but you will never be happy and satisfied in sin. You can sin now, but it won't taste like it used to taste. And that's what he says. Listen, he says you were free from the control of righteousness before. But what benefit Did you reap at the time from the things that you are now ashamed of? You know, some people backslide and go back to the world. And I want to pause you a second. If you're at the edge of sliding back, can I ask you a question? You know what you used to do and you were out there a lot doing it before? What benefit did you get from it? Seriously. What did you reap from it that was good and lasting? Because here's the point. You have to be a slave to someone. Either it's a slave of God or a slave of the world. The world will drive you as a taskmaster, and the Bible says the wages of sin, in other words, the payment of sin, when sin is your master, it will lead you to death. Your soul will die. Your spirit will die. Shame will come in. Guilt will come in. It leads you to death. But when you're a slave to righteousness, it leads you to life, eternal life. This is what he says. Listen, those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and you become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. When sin was your master, ultimately it was leading you to death. When God is your master, ultimately it leads you to life and holiness and eternal life. You have to serve somebody. You are either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness, but someone, you have to serve somebody. And what Paul is arguing is that when you serve God, ultimately, your destiny is not a destiny of shame. It's a destiny of life. This is what he says. For the wages of sin, what is wages? It's the payment. You work for something and it pays you something. When sin was your master, you worked at sin, and the payment is death. What does death mean? Death means that you die to God, you die to what is good, you die to all the things that are godly and good, and you become separated from God. But the gift of God, it's eternal life. It's a gift. You don't earn a gift. You don't deserve a gift. If this Christmas time, someone, you open up a package, you go into the Christmas tree, and you open up a package from your family, and it says, you open it up and it says, the mini iPad. And you're like, yay! Oh, let's see, how much did this cost? And you start pulling out your wallet to pay for it. What do you think the people that gave it to you would say? Put your wallet away. This is a gift. I think I'd be kind of happy if my kids did that to me. I'd say, sure, okay, you could pitch in a little bit. I'm okay with that. But it's a gift. You don't pay for a gift. The gift of God. It's salvation. It's forgiveness. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. For the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to hear me well. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you may have lived like a cousin of the devil for 35 years. And you come to a service like this, and you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you decide, I'm going to believe, I'm going to repent, it's my time. And you give your life to Jesus Christ today, and you say, I've been running my life, but I'm tired of it. I believe that Jesus, you are the only one that has the power to save me. I repent of my life. I invite the Holy Spirit inside of me. I baptize as a sign of living for you. And you walk out of this place after living 35 years like a cousin of the devil, doing every bad thing that you could think of, doing every grievous thing that you could think of. And you walk out of this place, and you have 1 hour of living for God, and you're hit by a truck on Archer Avenue as you're crossing the street because you're so excited looking up to the heavens and you forgot to look to the side, and boom, a truck hits you, and gory details splattered all over, and you stand before God. Oh, this is why I'm so excited to preach the gospel. And you stand before God and you had 35 years of grungy, dark, devious sin. And 1 hour you've been saved. Only 1 hour you've been saved. Only 1 hour you've lived for God. And you stand before God. God will say, "Welcome, my son, my daughter." No one's going to put you on a scale and say, "Oh, you only had 1 hour. You had 35 years of garbage. Sorry, buddy. You had to live 35 years of goodness to balance out the 35 years of darkness. So now you go to hell." No. That's not what's going to happen. In a moment, a gift is given that you can't pay, you can't repay. You'll spend the rest of your life, if you truly embrace this gift, living for the glory of God, because you know how great His grace has been to you.
The Bible teaching of Moody Bible Institute President Mark Job. And Mark, when you take a step back, it's almost unbelievable what God offers to us, a clean start and the gift of eternal life. But this is what excites us and excites your heart about the gospel, isn't it?
It is, Wayne, because I've seen so many, literally thousands of people in a moment, in an instant. Now, I know it's a journey that's leading up to that.
Right.
But when they make that decision mixed with faith and belief in the gospel, I have seen so many lives radically changed around. And now years later, some of them decades later, you would look and never know that that person was who they were before.
Yeah, because new person in Christ.
Absolutely. And so I have so many friends that have been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ here in the city of Chicago. So I want you, our listeners, to know that if you have not experienced the powerful transformation of the gospel, because maybe you've been religious or trying to achieve salvation through good works, or maybe just have not fully understood what the gospel meant, then do not wait in crossing that line yourself.
Mark, I'm so glad for that word, because I have the sense that a lot of people listen to a radio station like this one, kind of checking out this Christianity to see what it's all about. So maybe it's time to take that step of faith.
Yes, and I've had a lot of people tell me that their first exposure to the gospel and Christianity was anonymously listening to Christian radio. And so maybe you're one of those people today. And I'm so glad that you're listening. It means that you have a spiritual hunger, a desire for God. And I believe that He's put that in you, that it's not by chance that you're listening, because He's drawing you and you feel this compelling draw to something that's bigger than you. And maybe you haven't quite understood who God is, and maybe you're not a theologian and you don't feel like you know a lot about God, but you don't have to be a theologian to know the drawing of God in your heart. And so I want to pray with you right now. Father, I pray for that person that senses drawing to you. You've put signs in their life. You've put people in their life. You've put radio programs in their life because you are wakening something inside of them that has been dead, a hunger and thirst for their completion that's only in you, Father. And so today I pray that they would come to you recognizing, "I'm broken, I'm a sinner, I need God, I can't save myself." And today, in an act of faith, that they would pray and surrender and say, "Lord, I need you. I believe in Jesus, who was all God and became all man and died on that cross and paid the price that I couldn't pay. And today I surrender my life and invite you, the Holy Spirit, to come inside of me, change me from the inside out, make me a new person, and today I choose to become a follower of yours." If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to help you out with some resources on just how to get started. It's really the first step, but there's a lot of growth. And Wayne, tell our listeners how they can take that next step.
Yeah, we'd love to help you take a bold step of faith. So go to our website, boldstepsradio.org, and click on My Next Step at the left side of the page there. My Next Step at boldstepsradio.org. And just one more thing. This is the last week you can request Mark Sayer's book, The Road Trip That Changed the World, our featured resource. So ask for this simply by calling 844-615-7363 and giving your gift of any size to Bold Steps. 844-615-7363, or give your gift and ask for the book online at boldstepsradio.org or by writing to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, I invite you to join us again tomorrow when we begin a new series on renewing relationships. It's from our series, In His Image, and you'll hear it Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.